broken hearts, broken relationships, and broken lives. And Jesus can and does those things. But is that nice guy Jesus, the Jesus of the Holy Scriptures? Or is he some homemade rendition of Jesus who is only what you want him to be? Those who say they believe in Jesus who mends broken things must have revealed to them the Jesus of the Holy Scriptures. Otherwise, they are at risk of not being brought through the truth of God's Word to receive and know why and in what way Christ Jesus truly mends their lives. They would fail to believe in the Christ whose heart was broken on the cross, whose relationship with his Father was broken on the cross, whose life was broken by the bitter pain and agony of bearing your sins on the cross. Christ is always pointing his followers back then and his hearers now to himself on the cross. He came to Philip asking, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip relays the request. How does Jesus respond? But Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it will remain alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it. He who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me." The Christ of the Holy Scriptures, not some Christ the nice guy helper, not some Christ the family strengthener, not some Christ the success giver, nor Christ the money manager, but Christ, the Christ of the Holy Scriptures, points mankind to himself on the cross, because it is only through the way of the cross of Christ's crucifixion that new life is received by faith alone. The Lord got the Israelites' attention through the serpent's bites, and yet, right in the midst of getting their attention, the Lord God Almighty delivers to them the way of his rescue of them. Did it make sense to them? Did they actually say, "Well, this is ridiculous. I have to stare at the very thing that is killing me to be saved"? Am I being delivered salvation through a means that I cannot determine, or doesn't meet my way of thinking, then forget the whole thing? Did some actually say this? Yes. And there's nothing new under the sun. Some still say it today. Seriously, is there any question as to how that Old Testament text, along with thousands of others, the rest of the Old Testament, undoubtedly points to Christ crucified for you, for the forgiveness of your sins? Through the blessed cross, through the holy cross, through the way of the cross of Christ crucified, believers by faith alone conquer sin, death, and hell because of that is killing you, that is causing all of your struggles in life, becoming the serpent. Because Christ Jesus made satisfaction for the sins of the world, he becomes the one on the pole, on the cross, whom you stare at, the one God determined that you stare at, authoring faith and perfecting and finishing faith while you are kept staring at him. As Dr. Scare at the Fort Wayne Seminary so rightly taught, the cross of Christ crucified creates the faith that it demands. It is through that cross of Christ crucified that one is sent in God's sacrament of holy baptism. And because individuals are sent through Christ's cross, the forces of evil are exercised. Life is victorious over death. It is through his crucifixion that a believer's daily eternal life is lived. What did Luther pen in the fourth teaching of the sacrament of holy baptism? We confess. What does such baptizing with water indicate? It indicates that the old Adam in us should, by daily contrition and repentance, be drowned and die with all sins and evil desires, and that a new man should daily emerge and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. Where is this written? Now listen to how the Holy Scriptures point to Christ crucified. God writes through St. Paul in Romans chapter 6, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." Is that a life that has you staring at you to see if you are the perfect Christian, living the new life in righteousness and purity forever through your thoughts, words, and deeds? No. It's dying and rising by way of the cross of Christ crucified. Colossians 3:3 can be added to reveal where it is that you live by faith. Again, God writes through St. Paul to the Christians in Colossae, "For you have died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." Hear what God writes through St. Paul to the Galatian Christians, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Is it not Christ crucified who is being proclaimed through the sacrament of the altar as well? For immediately after writing Christ's words of institution to the church in Corinth, God continues to write through St. Paul the very next sentence, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." The way of the cross of Christ crucified is indeed an unlikely route to victory. For to the eyes, a crucifix is a symbol of death, defeat, submission, and disgrace. The cross, empty and all by itself, is a shameful instrument of torture and capital punishment reserved for criminals. It's painful, gory, and horrific. Stop and think for a second. If someone wanted to start a belief, wouldn't the cross of crucifixion be the last represent that belief. The fact that Christians wear crucifixes or even crosses around their necks would today seem strange, or would then seem strange to the ancient Romans. It would be like today having an electric chair dangling from your necklace, or a hangman's noose as a symbol. But that is exactly the point that God is making through St. Paul. That the theology of that event, not just a symbol, but an historic event, that theology of Christ crucified can only be grasped by faith. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. The world doesn't understand believers in the way of the cross of Christ crucified because the world doesn't understand the cross of Christ crucified. The world mocks Christianity as foolishness and Christians as fools. You are either derided as unscientific backward morons or as self-righteous bigots and hypocrites. God inspired St. Paul to write, for the message of the cross is foolishness for those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. It pleases God to bring the haughty, those self-righteous, presumed righteousness down, and exalt those whom he humbles. If anyone has trouble with that, receiving that truth, simply take a look at the words of Mary in the Magnificat, which are part of our holy liturgy in the offices of Vespers and evening prayer, because those are holy words of Scripture. As God, through St. Paul, asks the mockers of the cross of Christ crucified, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? The world sees a condemned criminal dying through crucifixion and asks, how can this truly be God? Just like the world sees simple water and the word and asks, how can this bring a rebirth from above? Just like the world sees a man pronouncing the words of holy absolution and asks, how can a man do such a thing? Just like the world sees bread and wine and asks, how can this truly be the body and blood of Christ? Just like the world sees a sinner in you and asks, how can this truly be a saint? And here is how it is, dear repentant and believing Christians. From the mouth of the Holy Spirit himself, proclaimed by St. Paul and confessed by the Church Catholic for 2 millennia, we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. The cross is an instrument of torture, but it has been transformed into a holy cross because of the Holy One's crucifixion on it, which frees you from the tortures of hell by believing in what Christ accomplished through his work of through your old Adam, your old man, by believing in Christ making satisfaction for you by going the way of the holy cross of Christ crucified, that old nature, the old man, the old Adam, dies. The new man is brought out of death to everlasting life through the very message that the world rejects. By faith, you are hidden with Christ in God. The holy cross of Christ crucified is the law's punishment for sin, that through faith liberates you from sin and the law's punishment. By grace alone, through faith alone, in the merits of Christ crucified for you alone, you are more than conquerors because of the satisfaction made through Christ's foolish crucifixion and the proclamation of that foolishness. Is it foolishness for you? Look into it. To have revealed to you what is meant through it. There is no true, lasting, heavenly joy outside of Christ crucified, for there is no Christ apart from the one who was crucified for you for the forgiveness of your sins. There, on the pole, sin is destroyed. There, on the pole, death is vanquished. There, on the pole, the gift of life eternal was won for you. As the crucifix precedes you as you exit the sanctuary this morning in reception, the words of the final stanza will be rightfully confessed. The cross he bore is life and health, though shame and death to him, his people's hope, his people's wealth, their everlasting theme. For all the hurting, for the needy, for the crying, for the lost, for the poor, for the downtrodden, for you, there is only one message, one hope, one Christ, one gospel, Christ crucified.